We introduced a bill last long session, just a few months ago, to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour in 5 years, and we phase it in at $1.55 a year. We introduced that last session, and of course, it stayed in rules. The Senate had a companion bill. Theirs did not move. And so what we feel is important is that we keep this conversation going and that we keep that subject matter on the table. And so today's press conference is going to sort of, you know, just raise everybody's awareness that we're still here. We're still very concerned about the ability of folks to earn a living wage.
If you could just go a little further in why you feel that the minimum wage should be raised.
In North Carolina, there's like 1.3 million people who would benefit from raising the minimum wage to $12 an hour. And that's a third of our state's total workforce. The ripple effect of raising the wage floor would give a boost to hundreds of thousands of working people making just above the minimum wage. But also keep in mind that most of the low-wage workers are women, and increasing the minimum wage would also help close the gender wage gap. So there's several reasons why, and not the least of which is that our citizens deserve better and most of them want better. 29 states, including several in the South, have passed minimum wages above the federal level, and we're behind. We need to take another look at our minimum wage in North Carolina. Not only would it help those working people, it would also help our economy. Anytime you are able to earn more, you're able to spend more, and that boosts the economy all the way around.
Do you think anything's changed since you introduced the bill in the last session? Do you think there's more of an appetite?
That's hard to say, and kind of working in this vacuum here where most of the concentration is on giving breaks to the wealthiest percentage of the population and to the largest corporations, it's kind of hard to see whether there is an appetite, especially in leadership, for this kind of thing to happen. What we will do is we will continue to press for it. And when the time comes to vote in November and still nothing has happened around minimum wage, then I hope those folks that are going to the polls who would really like to be a little bit more able to take care of themselves and their families will go to the polls and vote for people who stand for things like raising the minimum wage.
Now, this specific press conference, is this tied to that specific piece of legislation? I mean, is there going to be a bill introduced or what? How does that work?
This is tied to the bills that were introduced in the long session. Actually, we'll reintroduce them and then hope that they move out of rules. The difficult thing about the short session is that if a bill has not crossed from one chamber to the other over the long session, then it becomes ineligible and you have to start over again. In this case, since this is a bill that would affect the budget, we are finding our way back to the table to hopefully get leadership to start talking about this.
I assume that it has a number of Democratic sponsors. Is there any support from the Republican Party?
Not that I'm aware of. That is the disturbing part of this, is that we're not seeing any movement from the majority side of the aisle.
I see. Okay. Well, those were my questions. Is there anything listeners should know about the session so far and any bills that you've seen moving, anything going on?
I don't think there's really a lot to tell at this point. Mm-hmm. I think that what you're going to see in the next few weeks is movement toward passing a revised budget based on revenue collections. I'm told that the leadership already has a budget that they are finalizing. My information is that we will see that budget sometime in the next week. And the hope of the Republicans is that they have that budget on the governor's desk by the 1st of June. I don't know what the schedule will ultimately turn out to be, but you'll see that. Your listeners will also hear more about a lot of the bills that went to Education Committee around school safety. And, of course, that's something that is uppermost in your listeners' minds, I'm sure. And you'll be seeing more about the bipartisan effort to establish some new policy around school safety. Some of the things I am very supportive of, some of the things I am not as supportive of. For example, there is a call by the School Boards Association, I believe, to raise the penalty for calling in threats to school campuses. What I think that we need to feel caution about is penalizing young people to the level of felony before they are even through being juveniles. We passed a legislation last session that raises the age of juvenile jurisdiction, and we would hate to see a sort of a piling on of those kinds of offenses in the life of young people where it just kind of handicaps them for the rest of their lives. So we're going to be working to sort of temper those bills, but at the same time, keeping in mind that we want safe schools for our students.
Okay, gotcha. Any movement on the Asheville District's bill? Have you heard anything on that one?
Haven't heard anything so far. I am hoping that your listeners went online to ncleg.net and took a look at the comment page where they could actually submit their comments about whether or not districting was appropriate for the city of Asheville. As you recall, we had a referendum that was overwhelmingly opposed to districting in the city of Asheville. We hope that, at least in the majority of our Buncombe delegation, we hope that that holds some water going forward.
Okay, and last question about judicial redistricting.
Yes.
Anything you've heard on that?
I have not, except, as you know, the primary sponsor of that legislation lost his primary election recently, and we are not sure whether that will result in a rush to accomplish what his bill was calling for, or if it will sort of lessen the ability for that bill to be passed. It's kind of a toss-up, and I think yet to be seen what will happen to that legislation.
Right, because Justin Burr is still there, right, until...
That is correct.
Yeah.
He's here for the short session, and so I would say that it could go either way, truly. And I really think, though, that there has been a lot of input on the part of the judiciary about their opposition, and that goes in a bipartisan way. We see people from both parties being opposed to the unnecessary partisanship overlay into the judicial branch of government.
All right, Representative Susan Fisher, thank you so much for talking to me.
You're very welcome. Thank you.